Okay, next up, Brendan Dawes is speaking, and last year we had Seb Lee Delisle speak, and he was a Flash developer, and you all gave him lots of hugs afterwards. Brendan has a Flash background and is a designer. So what's he doing here in the first place? Well, last year, for those who were here last year, we had Paul Roger doing a talk that was titled Batshit Crazy Stuff You Can Do in a Browser. And he took Firefox, and I think it was Firefox mostly, and he showed you some of the amazing things you can do in that browser right there and then. Now, most of the feedback is, wow, that is batshit crazy. And the other feedback was, well, yeah, that's this latest browser, and it's insane. It's kind of bleeding edge. I can't use that day to day. Back in May, I was in Manchester, and I went into the tourism center, and there was a Microsoft Surface there. And I was like, first of all, I'm not in a conference center, and there was a Microsoft Surface device. And I was like, wow, OK, someone's actually put these things into a real building. And I went up to it, and there was Google Maps and these little kind of plastic cup things. And I put them onto the map, and this kind of circle would go around it. I could twist the circle left and right, and it would give me more information about what was nearby. And there were different colored ones of these blocks, and it would give me different information, like cinemas, restaurants, and so on. And this is bleeding edge technology. The Surface, to me, is kind of edge technology that looks amazing, but it's not that useful. And someone had built this thing and put it into a tourism office and made it really, really useful. And being in Manchester, I was like, wow, look at this. It's really cool. And they were like, duh. Brendan Dawes' company, Magnetic North, that's who built it, obviously, because they build all the amazing stuff up there. So I wanted Brendan to come here to be more of the counter side of Paul Roger's talk last year, to show you how you can take this really cool technology and these really cool ideas and actually get them to clients, and how you get these things, how you get your clients to actually want this kind of stuff, and how you make it a reality. So please welcome Brendan Dawes.
Thank you. Thank you. Can everyone hear me okay? Yeah, everyone always asks that, don't they? I've got a mic on you, Dick. On the way down here from Manchester, I was on the train, and I kind of had this like panic attack, because I've been doing talks at conferences for like over 10 years, but I've always done fluffy things, you know, designy conferences where we don't get into the tech stuff. You know, we can talk about fluffy crap, and you know. And we don't have to worry about whether anyone can make this shit, but you know, hey, you know, it looks good. It's kind of like an Apple keynote. So I'm joking, I'm a big, you know, whatever. So my first boo, great. So I realized that this is the first program, you know, a room full of programmers or developers I've ever spoken to, ever. So I was like, shh, what? And then I'm looking at all the tweets and like talking about all this like really like hardcore stuff, and I'm going, bloody hell, what am I going to show? You know? So I hope you'll treat me in a nice way when I show you no techie stuff at all. Hopefully it's going to be interesting, and hopefully I can show you that you can build nice, sexy, cutting edge, in inverted commas, stuff, and clients will buy it. I did a little interview for Underbelly last night, and in it I said that the thing is, you see, everyone, I'll tell you a little story, a little tangent. My brother-in-law is awesome, but he's a bit square. He's a consultant doctor, and his whole life, he drives 30 miles per hour everywhere. He never breaks the law, and you know, and he's really super straight. And he once had a .357 Magnum, right? You know, he went and bought a gun. This is before Dunblane, when he could own handguns. He didn't do it illegally. And he bought a .357 Magnum. Not, you know, he thought, I wanted to get into shooting. you know, legally in a gun club. I said, oh, what are you going to buy? He says, I've bought this. And a 357 Magnum is the one that David Soul has in Magnum Force, right? And he brought this guy, my brother-in-law, who's like super straight, doesn't break the law, brought out this fucking big gun. It wasn't loaded. I was like, shit. And it made me realize everyone wants to be Dirty Harry. I don't care who they are, how straight they are, everyone hankers to be Dirty Harry. And that's what you have to tap into when you're selling this stuff. So, anyway, that's going to be the theme or something like that. So, first confession, I'm a geek. Like, you know, probably many people in this room, but I won't presume. But, you know, I'm guessing there's quite a few, you know, you're at a JavaScript conference. Highly likely, you're a geek. So, you know, I am a geek. Now, a geek is a good thing to me, because I think it's just someone who is very passionate about what they do, and all sorts of things. I'm sure you guys aren't just passionate about JavaScript and stuff. You've got loads of things going on in your life, or at least I hope so. But I'm a total geek, and I love obsessing about things and details and that kind of stuff. I started out doing programming and code and then got into design and all sorts of other stuff. I'm a geek about lots of things, including pencils. I'm a bit of a pencil geek. And what I love about this kind of stuff is that when you descend into a certain niche, suddenly this whole world opens up. And it's like, what? There's other people blogging about pencils? This is awesome. What you're looking at here is not, I mean, you know, these are not just pencils, what I've got on screen here, so I'll take you through them a little bit. This bit's about an hour. So the thing is, right, what we've got at the very top, this is the one Chuck Jones used. You cannot buy this pencil anymore, okay? This is the Eberhard & Faber Blackwing 602, okay? And this pencil is the one Chuck Jones would use when he was doing all Wile E. Coyote and all that. You cannot buy this pencil anymore, and that cost me 30 quid on eBay. Right, for 30 quid for one pencil, right? So, and it's amazing. It's like black as night. It's crazy. And then, underneath you've got this, the yellow one is a Dixon Ticonderoga 1388-2. And that is the one Raoul Dowell, that's the only one he would write with. He wrote all his books longhand, and then some poor bastard had to type them all up. And then he would only write with his pencil. So, and then in the middle is this is where you get very excited, because that is the reissue of the 602. You can now buy it again. Okay, so I know. If one thing you go home with after today, it's that. So if that is my gift to you, you're welcome. So, and it's not 30 quid each. So that's like the reissue, and everyone in the pencil geekery world got very excited. You can even buy a different colour erasers for it. It's fabulous. And then that one's from like the 50s, that Dixon thing. So, and then I don't want to say I collect paper clips, but I collect paper clips. So now this is what I find. This is what blows my mind, right, from a design point of view. And I think I'm going to make this crazy correlation between this and JavaScript. I'm going to say, fuck it, I'm just go for it. So what I love about this is they are all made from the same material, a piece of wire, and then it's bent into different shapes, but they all communicate different things. Like, you know, like code, we all have the same base code, but we can manipulate that and turn it into whatever we want. So, and I love, you know, you've got two from Brazil, you know, because you think, surely all paper clips are the same, but they're not. So from an aesthetic point of view, they're beautiful. So you got two from Brazil, and then you got Spain. Don't you just love Japan? Doesn't that just say Japan? I don't know what it is about it, but it's like, yeah, that's us. Look at it. It's kind of small and cool and sexy and wow, Japan. So it's a paperclip. So love shit like that. And then, my current obsession, I have a 3D printer at home, so I print, make things appear out of nothing, and they come up out of plastic. So I can make objects physically appear. And it's cool. So then what I do, I make things for my pencils. So I make like field note clips for my field note notebooks. And then the other thing I do, and you know, I've got a few of these, I haven't got many, because they take ages to print. These are the world's most impractical business cards. So these are, you won't even get one of these bastards in your wallet, but you will never forget meeting me. So they're Duplo bricks, and I print out my name on plastic, you know, print it out and stuff. So that's kind of like, that's like a little introduction to me. You know, I'm a geek, like, you know, and I feel kind of, you know, at home here with lots of other fellow geeks. No offense, you know, if you're not a geek, I'm sorry, but you shouldn't be in this freaking room. So, but the point is here that I have a friend who, honestly, that's it, full stop, I have a friend. No, I have a friend who works at Apple, and she was saying to me, we were talking away one night over, I don't know, texting or something, I can't remember. And she said, the thing is, Brendan, life's too short to own an ugly pencil. I went, ah, that is amazing. Yeah, damn right. You know, this is, you know, it's about those details, it's about thinking. I'm not going to just use any pencil or any pen or whatever or any tool. I'm going to make sure. I mean, whoever said a bad workman blames his tools was a moron, and I'd like to smash him in the face with a very nicely made hammer. So, you know, complete bullshit. We need to have good tools to make this stuff. So, this is my favourite book. 101 Things to Do in a Shed. And in it is 101 things to do in a shed. None of them sexual, so I can think of at least one more. So, just don't tell my wife. So again, you know, I love obsessing about the tools, you know, the pencils, the paper clips, because these things matter. And you know, and if you don't think about those things, you know, there's no point to doing what you're doing. You know, you have to care about all these details. So, and this is, you know, a collection of some of the stuff in my shed. It's not really a shed. I call it the hackerspace. My wife calls it the back room. But to me, it's a hack space. You know, I use a lot of these things to make and explore the stuff that I do. So, now, you're probably thinking, when's he getting onto the JavaScript? It's coming. Well, there is some stuff at the end, don't worry. So, but the point is here that it's all universal to me. The whole idea of making, the whole idea of designing, coding, everything, developing. And these are just some of the things that I use to make some stuff. And like Altoids tins, there is some weirdness with Altoids tins, right? There's some kind of, I don't know if it's the golden ratio or something, but no matter what you want to fit in an Altoid tin, it will fit, generally. You know, I'm exaggerating, but yeah, they're amazing. I've got stacks of these things, constantly buying them from garages. Altoids tins, I've got like loads. So, and you can make iPhone chargers out of them and stuff like that. So I love taking stuff like that and twisting it about a little bit. And then on the top right, anyone know what that is? A chumby, the world's most ugly piece of tech ever invented, right? And I think it's ugly, so you have to take it apart and put it in something else, but I don't know why it looks like it's from the 70s, but I'm kind of glad it does, actually. So what I want to show you, really, is the idea of creating this thing we did for a client that was very much inspired by one of the famous architects that they have on their employ. And it was very much about creating structures that provoke exploration, and you'll see that in a minute. So I've always been fascinated by that idea, creating a framework where people can then explore and then go off in tangents and discover new things. And in a serendipitous way, you know, you're putting this framework in place and they take it places that you never even thought of. So I've always been obsessed with this kind of stuff. And in the past, I've done stuff like this. I'm showing Flash at a JavaScript conference. Funny. So I don't care. You know, so this was the, this is going to make the point here that stuff like this, this is the current Magnetic North site. I think it's been live about 2 years. It's our most trafficked, most successful, most linked site ever. And we used to change our site every year. And it was just all, you know, constantly, oh, can't find anything that really represents us. And then we came up with this idea of using gestures and, you know, and there's a lot of flaws in it. Some people find it really annoying. Other people love it. But the point was that we could have put something like this in a kind of lab section on our site. But for us as a company, what we were trying to communicate was this represents us, this is our personality. So here it is. You don't get, you know, there is no, if you go on the mobile one, obviously it doesn't work on an iPhone, so there is an alternative view for the iPhone. We'll come back to that in a minute. But it was like going, you know, this is us, take it or leave it. And it kind of acted as a filter for clients, because you got like someone who wanted, you know, a website about boilers. They weren't going to come on here. And if they did, they got very scared. But we got other clients that we did want to work with. So this was really just about, you know, believing in what we did and just being balls out, no excuses, no apologizing, just going, this is what we are and this is what we do. And at the time, Flash was kind of best for us doing that kind of thing. But then, you know, it obviously really bothered me that it wasn't ubiquitous anymore on devices, and that continues to bother me. And then there's things like this, so which is like really old now. But you can search, this is an experimental piece, so you can search for a subject in the news, and then I wanted to strip away the entire interface, and you have to draw the interface on a line, and all the news results get shown on this line, and then you can explore the headlines by drawing from one of the headlines to another place on the canvas. But where it gets interesting is it then pulls in related topics. So you search for New York City, say, and then we're off looking at, I can't remember what it shows then, but it goes off to the Taliban and all sorts of things. And it's, you go on this very serendipitous, random journey. The whole idea of this was so it wasn't a linear path, so much so, you know, a lot of the time when we're on the web, it's very linear, you know, and you get a list of links. And I wanted to create chaos. So you like had to look around and, you know, make a decision on what to do and purposefully make it a mess. And again, it's Flash, but I would love to redo this. And I think this is well possible now to do this with JavaScript and Canvas and Raphael, SVG and all that kind of stuff. I think it'd be well doable. I don't know how well it would perform. There's a lot of text going on in there, but I can basically kill Flash with this thing anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But yeah, so, and this thing again was, you know, the reason I'm showing this is it was sort of setting out our stall, even though this was a very personal project for me. We got clients going, we want that. We don't want that, but we want the thinking behind it. And which is really how we landed the client I'm going to talk to you about. So, there's a guy called Cecil Balmond, who has since left Arup. So Arup are, I'm sure some of you will know, but they're this huge engineering company that also does architecture. They built the Bird's Nest Stadium. They built the Water Cube. They built Sydney Harbour Bridge, Sydney Opera House. They're like, you get the kind of scale, the kind of, I think of all the 15 tunnel projects in the world, 10 of those. And these guys are huge, like 10,000 employees. So I've always been very, very excited about their work. And Cecil Balmond headed up this advanced mathematics group within the company. And he's this crazy sort of, he's an engineer, but he also does bits of architecture. And so Anish Kapoor, the artist, when he's creating that thing at the Olympic Park right now, Cecil Balmond is kind of his go-to guy to go, right, I've made a scribble, how the hell do we make that? And Cecil Balmond will sort of figure it out. So I was really excited about working with Arup. Didn't get to work with Cecil, or the Seaman, as I call him. No. But I didn't get to work with him at all. But I was just excited about working for Arup, because I thought, oh, God, they're a really amazing company. And then when I was doing the research, I chanced on this quote from Cecil Bellman. It's all about breaking traditional continuous sight lines of a bridge. And I love this bit at the end. Provokes exploration and questioning of accepted practices and methods. Now, I read that and thought, that's what I want to do. I wake up every day. That's what I want to do. Isn't that what we all want to do? You know, we want to question. I want to question everything. I do question everything. You know, I wasn't rebellious at school. I was a good runner. I ran away from trouble a lot. But as I get older, I get more rebellious and want to question more things. And this quote just kind of summed it up. And I thought, God, these are the guys that we're working for. This is ace. So anyway, the thing he was talking about was this bridge in Portugal. So, and I love, to me, this is kind of a bit insane, but not so insane that it's unusable. But it's got a little bit of a thing to it, a little bit of that X factor that makes it very different. So when you make a bridge, the point of a bridge surely is to go from A to B in a linear way, in as quick a way as possible. Bridges are straight, pretty much. You know, I don't really know of many bridges that aren't straight. But what Cecil Bellman did, he wanted to do what he said before. He wanted to do that. And obviously, you could go mental with that kind of idea and make it so the bridge was completely unusable. So it would fail all kinds of usability studies and stuff, I guess, if you had that kind of thing. What he did instead, and it's so subtle, but it's beautiful to me. It's quite poetic. It's very romantic. He put a little kink in the bridge, so which to me is insane. Why would you do this? You know, it's like you want to go from A to B, over the river, thank you very much, let's not mess about. You know, I'm a developer, I must make it efficient. Right, joking. Right, so... so, but the thing is, you know, that's kind of a logic, you know, that you would happen to think, yeah? You know, that's what our machines think, you know. But he went, nah, we're going to have a kink. So you'd have to go round it a little bit. And I love this idea that maybe when you turn that corner, you know, you might bump into your next lover, or, you know, an old friend, or I don't know. Who knows? You might bump into someone, and great things happen when you bump into things, I think. So I'm always bumping into things. And so I love this thing. And so they came to us and said, well, we've got Arup.com, which is this big monster of a website. And, you know, it's great. We've been working on it for years. It went live, you know, last year sometime, and it's took a lot of time, a lot of energy, and it works great. Nothing wrong with it. But we want people to discover our projects in a new and interesting way. It's, they're kind of like, they go to one project and then don't go on from there. And how, you know, what if they don't even choose a project? How can they just randomly chance on things? How can we expose all these amazing, mind-blowing projects that they've got in a way that is exciting? So they'd seen that DoodleBuzz thing, and they wanted to talk to us about it. And I've always believed that it's like that scene in Bonnie and Clyde. In fact, I've got it on my desktop. I haven't got the scene, but this very provocative image. There's this scene in Bonnie and Clyde, the Warren Beatty, Faye Dunaway version, that Clyde Barrow is this guy, and he's a bit, you know, he's a bit naughty, and he's done a few felonies and stuff. And then you've got Bonnie Parker, who's really bored, and, you know, she's looking for a bit of excitement and a way out of her small town America. And the two come together, and that's when the shit really hits the fan. You know, it's that, you know, them separately probably wouldn't have made a mark on American history. Them two coming together, crap happens, right? Good stuff happens. It kind of, yeah, they killed a few people. We'll brush over that. So, but what I'm saying is that, so because of that, I always think risk needs a partner. You know, I see so many times, you know, especially on Twitter, and it drives me nuts that people slagging off clients and, you know, publicly, and it drives, you know, and I know clients can be, you know, you can have bad clients as well as good clients. I've been there. But when you get a good client, it's something to hold onto, and, you know, they can really help you make amazing, great work, and they can buy into what you're selling them and champion it, which is more important. So they were like talking to us about it, and we showed them one of the demos, and it was the first time a client actually said to me, could you make the logo smaller? I was like, I'm sorry? Say again? Could you make the logo smaller and remove some of the information? I said, yes, I can. I will marry you. I will have your babies. You know, it's like no client has ever said that to me, and because they were like, the background that they came from was about design and architecture and all that. They understood all this kind of stuff. So they were like a dream client. So a lot of what I'm going to show you now is from Gary Burgess, who works at Magnetic North, and he is the most talented programmer I've ever worked with in 15 years. And the reason he is an amazing coder for me is he really understands aesthetics. And he wouldn't call himself a designer, but he has a great sympathy with how something should look. He gets it. And that, to him, for me, makes him a great programmer. So when we work together, I can sort of like scribble. You know, when you own a company or founded a company, it's great because you can get way more talented people than you to get you out of the shit. So it's brilliant. So that's my strategy for owning a business, by the way. So Gary was like this brilliant programmer, and it was fantastic to work with him because I could just like draw these things out or sort of explain what I wanted, and the client was all part of that process as well. And Gary would like make these demos, and then he would make these like, I'd go over to his desk and there'd be like these like scribbly note things, you know, and like we all do this, yeah, you know, we've all got books like this, and there's a comedy penis there, not really. So I should have drawn one. I love stuff like this. I love, you know, you've got to keep all these workings out, they're really important. So we were doodling things like this, and the client was looking at them, and then the client was inputting as well. It was great. And then so we when we started the project, we thought, God, we want it to run on everything. We could do this tomorrow in Flash without even blinking, to be honest. But I always think when you become good at something, not saying I was good at that, but when, as a general idea, when you become good at something, do something else. So we kind of knew Flash, and it was still exciting, you know, but things were moving on, you know. It's Flash is now in a retirement home with Cold Fusion, you know. So crying. And that's not decrying Flash. I made a career out of Flash, and it was an amazing creative tool for its time, but things have moved on. And you can take, what I love is, you know, take everything I learned with Flash and the whole methodology and the attitude, and now make stuff with different tools and obsess about different tools. So we were like, right, we should use SVG, Canvas, all that kind of stuff. We should just go for it, and it'll run on an iPad and iPhone, and yeah, we'll rule the world. And so Arup said, yeah, cool. They didn't even ask, you know, how many browsers does it run on? They didn't really care, you know. It was kind of like, you know, we want, in order to make this stuff more ubiquitous, someone has to make that change. You know, we have to do that. Otherwise, they just end up, you know, being in like the lab section on a website. And, you know, we need to be making this stuff in the real world. So, as I know, lots of people are now, and it's wonderful to see. So, you know, we started, as always, you know, you start with stuff like this, and we think, oh, maybe it's like an L-tree system, and we have these nodes, and this is like SVG or Canvas, and yeah, and we could, you know, maybe these are all the projects, and it shows us how things are connected, and we're like, yeah, that's cool. And God, that looks really nice. And we showed the client, and they were like, oh yeah, it's so organic, and it doesn't look like a website, and it's completely unusable. thanks. So, you know, it was. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, it's kind of like a mess. It looks, you know, kind of pretty, but that's about all. And, you know, we wanted this to make this thing, you know, be usable. And we all the time we're trying it on iPads and stuff like that, and the iPhone, and it was kind of a bit clunky, but, you know, it was usable. So then we said, right, okay, let's strip it back, and what if we make it a bit more linear? So again, SVG, doing stuff like this, which is, you know, usual L-tree algorithms that we've seen a billion times on the internet. And again, it's like, it kind of looks pretty, but they're all crashing into one another. And all the time we're showing the client these iterations. We haven't, like, you know, we're not going to show them a thing at the end because we want their input. So look, you know, we're working on this stuff. It's kind of working together. And, you know, they were showing the people their end and all the big bosses. And so like, yeah, it's all right, you know, but there's kind of sketches. The other thing I would say, doing this kind of stuff from a design point of view, you maybe see some color in a minute, but at this stage, everything was black and white or gray, or we've all been there where you show a client something and you're like, amazing functionality, or it's an amazing piece of programming. And they go, yeah, and you go, why is it pink? It's like, forget the pink. It doesn't matter. It could be orange. I don't care. Now, yeah, but why is it pink? My wife doesn't like pink. Okay, so you just make this shit in black and white. So no one's going to get, like, what does that color mean? So then we were like, okay, it crashes into one another. Could we do something where, you know, it kind of expands and then understands how far it expands? And so you do this kind of stuff where it's finding, going out to the outer edge. You know, but it's still, we were like looking at it and go, oh, it's kind of cool, but a bit boring. It doesn't look very organic. You know, so we parked that one. And then we were like, that was this kind of sketch for that one. And then we were like, oh, the client was like, right, we like where that's heading, but we really love the organic one that was really messy. How do we fuse the two together? And it's like, got off the phone, shit. Right, so then, you know, you go, right, okay, can we make that one a bit more organic and tree-like and have wibbly-wobbly lines and, you know, oh, you know, it's all HTML5 and stuff and, yeah, fabulous. And, you know, still, there's no information here. We're just like burning through money. There wasn't a lot of money, to be honest. But so, you know, we're making this. So it's starting to be a bit more organic-y. Is that a word? It is now. Hashtag organic-y. So then we were like, and oftentimes you go, right, we'll park that and let's go completely nuts and do something completely different. So we did this one and then we're like, oh, right, okay, now we'll get information in here. So, yeah, you'll see that and then, you know, you'll branch off and you'll see related ones and you're, oh, yeah, you know, and you suddenly you're 10 down. And again, you know, it's all JavaScript and stuff. And we're like, oh, this is like, it's quite interesting. And, you know, from a design point of view, it all fits in a grid and it's all very, and we realized we basically made a flow chart. It's really boring. We're like, oh, we got quite excited for about a week and then we're like, God, it's dull. So then we move on to, and then you go like, okay, what if we use Google Maps API? Yeah, awesome. So we didn't actually say that. But you can do stuff like this. So we did this. Gary wrote this crazy thing in processing that connected all the projects around the world, and it showed all the connections. It wasn't interactive. It did load very quickly because it was kind of using the Google Maps thing. And they loved this. They loved it. They was like, oh, my God, this is it. As, you know, this is fantastic. It looks amazing. Because what it was doing, it was appealing to their ego. It's like, look at us. We are awesome. Like, all our projects, look at that. And now they're all connected. Yeah, guys, it's unusable. You can't see what's going on. You know, so to placate them, we made a big poster, and now we've got it up in the office. So then when we sort of reined everything back, and we started to get some work, and we started on this thing. So someone, I think someone in their office said, why is it all text? All our stuff is beautiful, and you know, all these images and stuff. And we're like, oh yeah, should we use some pictures then? So we started on this, and you can see that there's like elements of like pretty much everything that's gone before. Exploring things, you know, just clicking on stuff to see what pops up. It's got these transitions and this movement, and it's kind of fluid, and it looks kind of organic without being crazy. Things don't bump into one another, so you can see stuff. And then, finally, we took it to this level, and this is... well, that's the web page. We didn't go, oh yeah, should we make a web page for you? Sorry, should have explained. So that was how the website looks. And then you on any project you can go explore more, or you will be able to. And you go into this world where it's completely different. It doesn't look like a website. It's all about random discoveries. Yeah, we're going to link things. We've got a key. The key doesn't work at all from a design point of view. It's a terrible idea. So this was, you know, this was like six months ago. Had a meeting with this week, moving this project forward now, because I had to present it to all the Arup board, who are like these big wigs flown in from Sydney and Hong Kong and all sorts of things. So, but they loved it, and it's all, you know, it's all SVG and canvas and everything like that. And this is going to be a real project that, you know, doesn't look like a website. You can do this kind of stuff. And I tell you now, Arup, even though I've described them as very, very sexy, they're actually quite conservative. This project has taken 18 months. That's not how long it took for us to build it. Just through the process of going through the machine in this giant company took that long. So who knows where this will go? And I hope, you know, it will go live eventually. But it shows that, you know, if you don't think about the technology too much and you're concentrating on the idea and the delivery of that idea, and if you want your ideas to be ubiquitous, which I think most of us do, it depends on the context, but most of the time we want it to be ubiquitous. This, for me, is a very exciting technology, and it's great to be here, to be able to be in a room with people who are like massive brains who can make this stuff happen. So I'm going to leave you with this quote. This is one of my favorite quotes, and I think it sort of sums up what we should be doing with this stuff. And if you don't go out in the woods, nothing will ever happen, and your life will never begin. Thank you very much.